Go to Revelation chapter 22. We finally made it to the end of the book of Revelation, and excited to be able to teach on this closing chapter tonight. We're going to see a continued vision of the New Jerusalem, a little more information about that, and then we're going to see the messenger angel that's sent down to talk to John and give him some more information. And then we're going to have the voice of Jesus Christ come in and finish out the chapter. So the closing words will be directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to see what he said, and I want to obey it, and I want to pay attention to it, because these are his closing instructions as he finishes out this incredible book, last book of the Bible. And so I hope it's a blessing to you tonight. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Will begin in verse number 1, Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever maketh a loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this book, and Lord, thank you for the blessing it has been to this preacher to be able to study it and to go through it. And Lord, the times I've been able to spend with this book and with your Holy Spirit helping me, and Lord, it's been a profitable for me for this time of my life right now. And so, Lord, I pray it's been a blessing to your people also. Lord, guide us as we study it tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Good, and you may be seated. As I mentioned, we begin the last, we start the first few verses here by finishing up talking a little bit more about the vision concerning the New Jerusalem. Now, this started back in chapter number 21, if you were here Wednesday night, when in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and we went back and looked in 2 Peter and saw where God dissolved
the old heaven and the old earth, and they are consumed with fire, and God makes all things new, everything's new. And so we see a continued vision of the new Jerusalem starting in verse number 1. We see the river of life. And then in verse number 2, it is the mention of the tree of life. I think trees of life, you can understand the wording a little bit, makes me believe that there's not just one tree of life, because verse 2 says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. And so I believe there was probably 12 of them bearing 12 manner of fruits. I'm not 100% about that, but it says in the midst of the street of it. So there's a tree there. And on either side of the river, there's got to be at least two more. And so then it yields her fruit every month. So we have the water of life mentioned in verse number 1, and we have the tree of life. And every month, this tree of life bears a different manner of fruit. Well, we can't even hardly picture that. You know, you go to a pear tree, it's going to give you pears. You go to an orange tree, it's going to give you orange. You go to an apple tree, it's going to give you an apple. But the tree of life, every single month when you come back, there'll be a different type of fruit on the same tree. Just gives you a little picture of how things are new. All things will become new. And I think there's wonders like that that we're going to see all over heaven that just we couldn't have imagined here on earth. And so we see this water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, the tree of life. I believe that God is giving us eternal life, everlasting life. I do believe that that eternal, everlasting life is sustained as we drink the water of life and as we partake of the tree of life. If not, then come explain to me why it's called the water of life and the tree of life. And so I think that that's what will happen. I also think that every month when these trees put on their fruit, it will give us a reason to reassemble in the New Jerusalem at the throne of God for a time of worship and a time of fellowship and a time of service. But again, there's a reason I believe the gates are open. I think the new heavens and the new earth will be made accessible to all of us, and we're going to be able to come and go and enjoy and just spend our time seeing the wonders of God. Folks, we didn't get to see this world before the curse of sin. And imagine it completely remade. You know, some of you, as you go on vacation, I know Brother Reiser, him and his wife sent us a couple pictures, and you go out west and you see this, something you're not used to seeing around Indiana, and you see some of the beauty of this world. And then again, as we mentioned, two-thirds of the world's now water. None of it's going to be water then. And when God remakes it, can you imagine the things we'll be able to go and see and discover? And only there's no curse of sin. And everything's going to be new. I think we'll see things we can't imagine. I don't know all it's going to be, but I know this. We're going to spend eternity wondering at the greatness and goodness of our God. And so there you see a little bit of the what's going to happen there as far as, again, a continued vision of the new Jerusalem. In verse 3, we're reminded there's no more curse. Praise God for that. So that this is going to be the world without a curse, the heavens without a curse, heaven without a curse. And but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So there's no more curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it. And I think that's talking about the New Jerusalem. So that will be our place of worship and our meeting place with God. Then we see some more insight concerning, I mentioned last Wednesday night, the new relationship that we'll have with God. In verse number 3, it says there at the end of that verse that, and his servants shall serve him. And you know what, folks? This will not be a drudgery. Oh, preacher, you mean we're going to have to work some in heaven? We're going to have to serve some in heaven? Folks, you know what? We're serving God now. We ought to be. You know what? We were made to serve the Lord. Come on. And so why should that seem like it would be any different in heaven? I think it's going to be a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord. You know why? Because I think it's a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord now. And so why would that change? The Bible says also, and again reminds us of this new personal face-to-face relationship in verse 4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. So It talks about, and by the way, end of verse 5, and they shall reign forever and ever. So this new relationship, come on, let's think about it. You know what? We're going to serve the Lord. We shall see him face to face. His name is going to be on our foreheads, and we shall reign with God forever and ever. So, you know, there's going to be some serving and some reigning and some worship and some singing and some fellowship and some exploration and adventure and the opportunity to spend time with God's saints and meet all of the Christians throughout all time periods. It'll be more than enough to keep us busy for all eternity. And so what a time it'll be. In verse number 5, there shall be no night there. And so that's reiterated. We saw that in the last chapter. No need of a candle, no more need of the sun to shine. Why? Because the glory of God, the Lord, will give us the light that we need. And so an exciting, exciting time there. It says, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So the first 5 verses is kind of a continuation of chapter 21 and giving us some more information about the New Jerusalem. And we'll still see a few more things that are brought up. But then we are introduced to the messenger angel here in verse number 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now, folks, I'm going to talk about the words of Jesus. And this is, be honest with you, just a little, I'm torn. There's parts of this, obviously, that are coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So this is his words. Now, whether they are being personally spoken to John or whether they are being quoted by this angel throughout the rest of the chapter, I was looking because I happen to have this Bible, and it is a red-letter edition. And the way it's constructed here, whoever put this Bible together, I would say they believe that Jesus is being quoted by the angel. We know that this is not Jesus, this messenger angel, at least in the beginning part here, because when John begins to worship him, he said, no, don't worship me. And so I think you'll understand more what I'm trying to explain as we go down through here. But we do and are introduced to this messenger angel in verse number 6. And he says, reiterate some things. These things are faithful and true. Verse number 6, these things are faithful and true. And that's mentioned several times in the book of Revelation. God will tell us some things that are extraordinary, almost beyond our comprehension or our ability to believe. And every once in a while, I think, you know what, the look on John's face may have caused the angels to say, now you write these things down, they're faithful and true. Okay, all these things are going to happen. And so they are faithful and they are true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things that must shortly be done. Remember that, folks, that must shortly be done. Now look at verse number 7. Look at the first 4 words. Behold, I come quickly. Now think about that. Can I have you look down at verse number 10? And again, you know what you see there? Verse number 10, for the time is at hand. And so we've seen in verse number 6, things which must shortly be done. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. The end of verse 10, for the time is at hand. Look, if you will, at verse number 12 there. And behold, I come quickly. Look at verse number 20. What's he say? Surely I come quickly. You say, preacher, doesn't seem like it's been quick. Well, let me read a couple verses to you. Psalms 90, verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. And then most of you are familiar with 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You say, preacher, it just seems like Jesus promised to come back, and here we are, and it's been forever and ever and ever. Look right up here. No, it's been a couple days. It's just been a couple days. And God doesn't measure time the way we measure time. And when he said that these things must shortly be done, verse 6, behold, I come quickly, verse number 7. The time is at hand, verse number 10, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, verse 20. Surely I come quickly. Folks, when we get into eternity where time is no more, I think we're going to understand that a little bit better. So in verse 7, we have the promise that Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I think this is a book that needs to be preached. I think this is a book that needs to be read. I think that there's a reason God connected blessings and a promise of blessings to people that will read the words of this book and hear the words of this book. Folks, I think the book of Revelation ought to be centerpiece in these last of the last days. And yet so many preachers have gotten away from prophecy preaching and preaching on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get back to it. And, you know, we need to begin to live like we believe it again, like he could come at any time. And so he's coming soon. Verses 8 and 9, if you look at that, he says, I, John, saw these things and heard them. Now, let me stop there before we get into him making the mistake, falling down. I think he got so excited he fell down for the feet of the angel in worship. But think about this. So much of what we have been given by John has been visual things. And I keep saying to you, now try to picture this, try to picture this. We're talking about visual things. But John says in verse number 8, and I saw these things, comma, look at that, and heard them. And then he goes on to say, and when I had heard and seen. And folks, you know, it's not just the things that we see when we get to heaven that's going to be astounding. I can't even imagine what we hear in heaven. And John was taken over and overcome because of, yes, the things he saw. But I just couldn't help but think, man, what are the sounds of heaven going to be like? What's the sounds going to be like? And there's so many things, folks, that we hear today that we're never going to have to hear again and should not have to hear again. And there's so many things that we're going to hear for the first time that we're just going to be drawn to. The psalmist wrote this, and I don't remember which psalm it was, but he said, blessed are they that hear the joyful sounds. And I know this, there's going to be joyful sounds in heaven. And so when he seen heaven, he was astounded, but it wasn't just the sights of heaven, it's what he heard. And then we see where John falls down in verse number 7, and to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And of course, the reaction of the angel is immediate, verse 9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. And then he stops there and he says, worship God. Now, folks, this is obviously a very important angel, very privileged angel to be able to go to John and to show him these things. But, folks, I don't care how high up on the totem pole they are in the angelic ranks, they understand one thing. You know what? All worship needs to go to God. And I know I've hit this drum, but let's just beat the drum one more time, folks. You know what? Let's worship God. Let's make sure God gets all the glory. Come on, as a man, don't ever be tempted to, you know, accept praise, accept worship. You know, and my job's not to gather a following for Jerry Ross. My job is to point people to Jesus and say, follow him. I mean, John the Baptist stood and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And he spent his life pointing people to Jesus. They came to him and said, well, what's your name? Our bosses want to know, what's your name? And he said, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare you. Then wouldn't even tell him his name. You think of, compare that to a lot of the, I'm sorry, selfie preachers and posting preachers and ladder climbers. And seems like they can't get their pictures out enough and their name out enough. And, you know, I'm real interested in seeing pictures of their Bible as they're charging into the next church to bring revival. And I just think, that's a bunch of garbage, folks. You know, let's spend our life pointing people to Jesus, okay? And so if you'll stay little, then God will do big things with you. If you get big, you know what? God can put you on a shelf. And so I don't know about you, but I just think I want to stay over in the shadows and let's keep the spotlight on Jesus Christ, okay? He said, don't worship me, you worship God, all right? And then in verse number 10, through verse number 16, we see the angel bringing the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a message from the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of this is direct quotes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But the chapter concludes from this point on with the words of Jesus, the message that Jesus Christ wanted the angel to bring specifically to the churches. And through John, yes, he was bringing these things to John, But you'll see on down in here in verse number 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. So this just wasn't a personal message to John. We'll see it in a minute where he tells him, don't you seal the prophecies of this book. Now, you know what? We'll go back and look. But, you know, he gave some prophetic things to Daniel, and Daniel started writing them down. And you know what? He told Daniel, you seal the words of this book. That's not for this time yet. But when he gave the book to John, he said, don't you seal this up. The time is at hand. As a matter of fact, verse 10, there it is. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He said, John, this isn't a book I'm giving you where I want you to seal it up and hide the message until there for such a time when no, right now it's needed. Right now during the church age, it is needed. And this is a message that ought to be preached in all of the churches. Verse number 16 encourages us in that. So in verse number 10, do not seal the sayings of this book. The time is at hand. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And so some of what God gave Daniel, he said, you shut that up and you seal it. And that's not for this time. But folks, we're in the last of the last day. As I said already, yeah, all of the Bible is important. I love all of the Bible. I think we ought to read all the Bible. But boy, in these last of the last days, we need to spend time in the book of Revelation, preaching, teaching, and sounding the trumpet. You know why? Because behold, I come quickly. Then verse number 11, you know what? The finality of man's decisions. He that is unjust. We looked at this verse while we were in chapter number 21. But let's read it again. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And by this time, on God's timeline, you know what? Everyone has been divided. The goats have been separated from the sheep, the saved from the unsaved, those that will enjoy eternity in heaven from those that will spend their eternity in a lake of fire, and there's no changing it. There's no change. You know, a person can change his eternal destination right now, but you know, after he takes his last breath, it's too late. You know, you think about it. If you pray and ask for forgiveness and mercy on this side, come on, of the green sod, you know what? God will hear you and answer that prayer. But ask the rich man. First prayer that came off his lip was for mercy. And you know what the answer was? No. No mercy. And so that's why we need to be busy sharing the gospel. That's why everyone here needs to make sure of your salvation. Okay, verse number 12, and behold, I come quickly. There it is again. And notice this, folks, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And I'm going to preach a message on it. I've already kind of mentioned it a couple of times, and one of these days I'm going to get a message preached, and I want it on social media so that I can be criticized some more and get it out there on our YouTube channel. But, you know, there's so much of this ridiculous teaching that's going around, and it's taking some people out of good Bible preaching churches and putting them in evangelical churches. And you know, this whole idea of criticizing people that serve the Lord, and they call it, I'm all of a sudden escaping me, it's not production based Christianity, it's something else. Anybody remember? But you know, it's almost like those of us that are actually doing something and serving the Lord, you know, they got this straw man argument out there that, you know, we're doing it because we think that that's what we got to do to earn the love of God. Okay, that's ridiculous anyway. You know, false teaching also has to be based on a false premise. And listen, I don't do what I do thinking I have to earn the love of God. If we had to earn the love of God, none of us would be able to earn it. Okay, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's already settled. But folks, listen, it's not the love of God I'm trying to earn. By the way, it hasn't done anything with his love to me. It has to do with my love to him. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, you know, they build it on a false premise. And then they want to, you know, talk about churches like ours that run buses and go soul winning and have ministries and are serving the Lord, as if somehow, you know, we're bad and we're wrong because we're trying to earn God's love. And instead, you need to go to a church where you realize that God loves you no matter who you are or what you do or what you don't do, and all of this stuff. And they diminish the importance of working for the Lord. And yet Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, he bring forth laborers into his harvest. He gives a parable about giving one man five and one man two and one man one. And the ones that went out and worked and doubled that and brought it before were they are the ones that heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one that buried it in the ground that did nothing heard, thou wicked and slothful servant. Folks, just be careful what you start reading on the internet and what you believe on the internet. A bunch of evangelicals, and come on, a bunch of former backslidden independent Baptists are attacking our movement with all these straw man unbiblical arguments. Listen, what does he say there? And my reward is with me to give every man according to, it doesn't really matter what he did or didn't do. It's just, no, you know what? You're going to be on judgment day. We're going to be either rewarded or lose reward based on what we did. Well done. He didn't say well intended or well existed. He said, well done. Hey, we're supposed to be doing something for the Lord. Don't get caught up in all of that nonsense. There's so much of this junk coming from so many directions. It seems like more than preachers have time to stop and answer. And you know, you got to at some point just hope that people know the Bible enough not to fall for this nonsense. But sadly, a lot of them are. So God's going to come. Jesus coming quickly. His reward's going to be with him. And that those rewards will be based on what we did. What we did, okay? I'm Alpha and Omega. Here's Jesus speaking, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Folks, let's not forget that Jesus was here long before any of us was here. And you know what? When all this thing is done, you know what? He'll still be here. And he's not a time traveler. He's a time exister. And he inhabits eternity. And so God knows not only what we're going to face today, he knows what we're going to face tomorrow because he's already there. And he knows what we're going to face in 6 months because he's already there. And he knows what we're going to face in 10 years because he's already there. And so I want to be on his team. Amen. Verse 14, blessed are they which do his commandments. Well, wait a minute. You don't supposed to have to actually do anything. You know, all you do is just, you know, come to church, kumbaya, praise and worship, and then go out and live like the lost world, and you're going to get all the same thing. No, you're not. No, you're not. Don't get caught up in that nonsense. Amen. Have I made that clear enough tonight? Amen. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Now, again, there's the finality of a decision. You know, God's not willing that any should perish, that all come to repentance. Nobody's going to be able to stand before God and say, you know what, Jesus didn't die for me. That's another false doctrine. The Calvinists, be careful of that, where Jesus only died for some people, didn't die for others. And God created some people to go to heaven, and he created some people just to use for kindling in hell. Well, what a damnable doctrine. What a damnable doctrine. But you know what, folks? It's going to be based on our decisions. And so we have here those that have done the right thing when it comes to Jesus, accepted Christ as a Savior. Thank God we'll have right to that tree of life, and we'll be able to enter through the gates of that city. You know, only once. The Bible says in the last verse of verse number 21, chapter 21, the last verse, verse 27, thou shalt in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. So who's going to enter into that city or be able to? But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Without are dogs and sorcerers, verse 15, whoremongers, murderers, adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And again, God is just drawing a line and saying, you know what? There's going to be those that are unsaved. And there's going to be no second. They're never going to have a chance to walk into this city and see the wonders and spend all of eternity amazed at the glory of God, serving God, worshiping the Lord, spending time fellowshipping with each other. You know, no more curse. Thank God. No more curse of sin. And to be able to spend all of that time exploring the wonders of God's creation, it's going to be such a time. And so there's some that will enjoy that and some that will not. And it all depends on whether you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. Then verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I love the different titles of Jesus Christ. He's already said, I'm Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last. Now he says this, I'm the root and offspring of David. There's always that connection to the Jewish people and to his Jewish heritage, folks. So, hey, America, you better not turn your back on Israel.
Right.
All right, President Biden, you need to be very careful right now that you stay in strong support of Israel, because God will bless those that bless Israel, and he'll curse those that curse Israel. And I want America to be on Israel's side, amen. And so we see that. And then the bright and morning star. And so then we jump down the closing invitation and warning and promise. So in the closing verses from 17 to 21, we see an invitation, then we see a warning, and then we see one last promise. And the invitation is this, and the Spirit, that's a capital S, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's us, by the way, right, say, come. We're supposed to be busy. You know, if we'll get out there and give people an invitation to receive Christ, the Holy Spirit will amen it. The Holy Spirit will go with us. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Hey, don't try to do it without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Right. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be an effective witness, then you know what? You need to seek the fullness of the Spirit of God. Let's not forget that, folks. There's always a strong connection between the Holy Spirit and the soul winner. The Holy Spirit fullness, and effectiveness in winning people to Christ. You know what? When Jesus gave the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what he said first? He said, wait, you first of all go to Jerusalem and you tarry until you be endued from power with on high, with power from on high. And folks, I think too many of us, let's just stop a minute. Too many of us are running out trying to talk to people about Jesus and witness for Jesus, and we haven't spent time. Come on, you can't be filled if you're already filled. The only way Christ can fill you with his Holy Spirit is empty yourself of self and sin. Do I sound like a broken record sometimes? You know, I guess I've pastored here long enough. I keep thinking, I've probably said this 1,000 times. Good, let's say it 1,001, okay? If we do not empty ourselves of self and sin, how can we be filled with the Spirit of God? And if we try to do it in the power of the flesh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Bus captain, you'll never fill that bus in the power of the flesh. You know what? You'll never win a soul in the power of the flesh. You know what? You need the Holy Spirit. You need Holy Spirit fullness. And we have to be willing to empty ourselves so that we can be filled. Here we see the Spirit and the bride. You know what we're supposed to be saying? Come, come, come. Church in the Wildwood, there it is. Come, 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 come. Let him that heareth say, come. When you get saved and you receive it, then go tell somebody else. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, there it is. How's the Calvinist handle that? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So the closing words is an invitation. One more time, let's plead with sinners. One more time, let's say to the lost, Jesus died for you. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants you to spend eternity with him. And so we see the invitation. The next two verses is a warning, folks. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know, if somebody else wants to mess with the Bible, that's between them and God, but I'm not messing with this book. You'll notice your preachers, even in teaching the book of Revelation, I've tried to be so careful not to add, not to subtract. What does it say? Let's just believe what it says. Yes, we've tried to give you some ideas as far as what the meaning might or might be, but it always goes back to those things may be, may not be, but what does it say? Well, that's what we know for sure. And if you'll treat the Bible like that, God will bless you. I don't want to be standing before God one of these days having been involved in retranslating the Bible, taking verses out of the Bible, changing words in the Bible. If they want to mess around with that, by the way, let me tell you what's behind all of that. It's not to produce a Bible that's easier to read. The love of money is the root of all evil. This book, the King James Bible, cannot be copyrighted. Okay, they can't make a dollar off of it. But if they change 20-some percent, I forget what the percentage is, but there's a certain percentage that if they change, then all of a sudden they can copyright it. And because they have a copyright on it, they can get royalties from it. And so that's why they're changing the Bible. It hasn't a thing to do with just, we just are only doing it because we just want to, okay, then take the copyright off of it. Come on, put your money where your mouth is, all right? You got such a pure heart, you're just trying to produce a Bible, then why is it that you're collecting money off of it? And so, no, don't believe that nonsense. The love of money is the root of all evil. And so we see the warning there. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it, folks. Listen, you might not retranslate the Bible, but let me ask you something. I'm tired. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of Christians throwing this junk. You know, they leave a Bible preaching church, and then they say, well, you know, I just don't believe in Pastor Ross's interpretation of the Bible. Folks, good night. If you've sat under me for any time at all, we don't spend a lot of time interpreting the Bible. We just spend a lot of time reading it and saying that's what it says. You don't have a problem with my interpretation. You got a problem with what it says. Okay? And people that are standing behind pulpits, and people, some of them that's on Facebook, don't have a pulpit, but they've got a pulpit on Facebook, and they spend their time diminishing what the Bible says, changing what the Bible, well, it really doesn't mean that. Well, if it says it, it really means that. Okay, and so forgive me for being simple, but I just kind of read the Bible and believe what it says. And if you've got to spend your time always trying to correct the Bible, or come on, make excuses for the Bible, or change the Bible so that it can match your life, maybe you ought to just change your life to match the Bible. And so let's not mess around with the Word of God in any way. So we have a closing invitation. We got a warning. And then we got a promise. Here he says, again, in verse number 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Now, you folks remember this. This is the last word spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of the Revelation in the entire Bible. Now, John's going to say a few things here. He's going to close out the book, give you his salutation. But you know what? The last words that Jesus speaks is, surely I come quickly. And you know what? That's the last words I want to base my actions on, my attitudes on. This is these words, I want them to form my where I draw boundaries in life and my desire to want to do right and obey the Lord and live a holy life. I want to live every day believing that he's going to come. Every day of my life, I want to just get up and think, you know what? I better just do what I'm supposed to do today because Jesus is coming back. And you know what? I'm expecting, and you say, preacher, you expect him to come every day, yes? And you, what do you do when you go to bed and he hasn't? I'm shocked, I'm surprised that he didn't. And then I go to sleep, wake up the next morning and say, well, you know, it's got to be today. And, you know, that's an awful good way to live your life. It's just live in the expectation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you live that way, folks, it's sure going to help you to stay on the right path and do the right thing. And then I like what John says here. As soon as Jesus said, surely I come quickly, John says, amen. Amen. Yeah, let's just stop and kind of help Blessed Oak Baptist Church. This morning especially, I don't know if it's a holiday weekend or what, but y'all are too quiet. Okay, come on. People in my Sunday school class, I know that you're the older crowd, and I know, but you shouldn't leave your preacher up here by himself. I'm going to have to get down and amen myself in Sunday school. Some of you don't wake up and get with it. We got visitors coming to church. They're sitting in here, and I'm preaching my heart out. Most of you are just staring blank stares at me. Listen, let's not get away from being an amen church. Amen. Amen. Let's say it out loud. Let's get when the preacher says something that's right, then say amen. Right. And don't be shy about it, okay? Let's not be that way. Let's be excited about the things of the Lord. So he says, amen. And then he says this, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I don't know if that shouldn't be a prayer that just comes from our lips over and over and over and over and over again. Lord Jesus, it sure would be good to see you today. It should be good if you came today. Lord, we'd sure like to see you. Lord, I know you got your time, but Lord, I'm hoping you'll come. I think he ought to hear that prayer over and over and over and over from his children, a longing to see him. And then, folks, until he comes, what are we going to need? Look at verse 21. We'll close it out. What are we going to need? We're going to need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because all this heaven stuff's wonderful, but guess what? We're not there yet. And all of this, no more entering in that which is defiled, that's coming one day, but we're not there yet. And you know what? This week, you know, everybody in this room's have to go and deal with a bunch of garbage and listen to people use God's name in vain and Jesus' name in vain. And we're going to have to flip on the news to try to catch up on the headlines and then flip it off in about 3 seconds because we can't stand it. And we're going to have to watch another election year. Oh, Lord Jesus, save me. Even so, come quickly. Amen. Just come before the election. I'm so tired of it already. And it's not even got to the point where, you know, I can't wait to see. You know, you say, when's the election really start? About 60 days out. You know, there's all of these stories that they've got on each other. Now, come on, one side's as bad as the other. And they can't wait to release these last second Hail Mary, and, you know, accusations and crazy stories and Lord knows what. We may have another pandemic if it looks like that the wrong group can't win and, you know, they'll try to find a reason to shut. I mean, I'm pretty excited about all that. I can't wait to see how they're going to try to steal another election. But you know, what do you need, preacher? Grace. I just need grace. You need grace to get through tomorrow? Come on. You know, this. You talk about the love of money is the root of all evil. I don't want to get on the politics things very long, but folks, what grieves me is I'm tired of watching our young families suffer and struggle because, you know what? I read the other day somebody said, you know, I can't believe how much stronger I've gotten. I can now carry $100 worth of groceries with one hand to the car, you know. That's not even a joke anymore, folks. That is the, and I'm watching our young families struggle and gas prices up where they shouldn't be and all this other nonsense just because a bunch of fat cats, you know, want to misuse our tax dollars. And anyway, you know what a mess it is. And folks, listen to me. The devil's the prince and power of the air. And he's the one behind all of this stuff. And there's certain things you're never going to change. I'll tell you the way it's going to finally get changed. We're going to get raptured out of here. Jesus is going to turn the whole thing over to the devil for 7 years and let him do his worst. And then he's going to have enough of it, ride in on that white horse. And he's going to set up a 1,000-year reign. And guess what? You know what? Gas prices, come on, some of you can remember, we're back down to 23 cents a gallon, amen. And, you know, I'll be able to go to the corner store. They'll reopen the little corner store, and I can find my penny candy again and maybe, you know, turn in pop bottles for 3 cents. And we can live in a place where we don't have to worry about our children anymore. We don't have to worry about our grandchildren anymore and all the wickedness and all this nonsense that it seems like none of us can defeat, and it's just out of hand, but Jesus is going to come set this thing straight. He's going to let me and you rule and reign with him 1,000 years. And then the devil, I know I'm reviewing, he'll be released for a little bit of time. Then after that, one more great war. And then everything, come on, Revelation chapter 20, great white throne. And he's going to use the lake of fire as a disposal service. And everything wicked and defiled and unregenerated will go into that. And the lid will be shut and a lock will be put on it and they'll stay there for, and then you know what? God's going to dissolve it all with a fervent heat. He's going to remake this thing and you're going to be glad. You're going to be glad that you accepted Christ. You're going to be glad that you were faithful to the Lord. You're going to be glad that you served the Lord and in those days. So folks, listen, I know it gets discouraging and we do need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I pray this prayer for our congregation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, because every one of us need it. But you know what? Tap into that grace. God can give you enough grace. You can get through another day. You can get through another week. We can get through another election year. Amen. And you know what? Jesus is still on the throne. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. What a chapter. What a chapter. What a blessing. I just pray, Lord, that you'll use these verses to encourage the saints of God even this week and throughout this next year. Lord Jesus, help us be found faithful. When you come, Lord, we want to be busy. We want to be faithful. I don't want to have quit on you. I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines. I don't want to be out in the world living like the devil. Lord, I want to be faithful when you come. And Lord, may when you come, you find us watching, you find us working. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord. Now, bless your people, Lord. Lord, I pray for everybody get home safe. And Lord, pray for us during these storms. Just protect each one. And then, Lord, give us a great day tomorrow. I know a lot of folks have plans with family and friends and different things going on. Just may they have a blessed day. We pray these things in Jesus' name.